Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Stephen Overly. All eyes are on the Senate this week, where lawmakers are taking up a bill that forces TikTok to find new owners. Now, Congress can be an unpredictable place, but for now, the bill is expected to pass. And if it does, President Biden has said he'll sign it. All of which comes to a head after years of criticism that TikTok funnels Americans' data to Beijing. In short, things have never looked worse for the popular app. So what happens next? This much is clear. TikTok will take the U.S. government to court, likely arguing that forcing a sale and potentially imposing a ban violates the constitutional rights of TikTok's investors and users. Now, a TikTok spokesperson declined to comment on the company's legal plans, and TikTok has repeatedly denied any U.S. data gets back to China. However, company executives indicated a legal fight is coming in a staff memo that leaked over the weekend. And it's not without precedent. Right now, TikTok is locked in a lawsuit with the state of Montana over a proposed ban there last year. That's what prompted me to call up Montana Attorney General Austin Knudsen. While a lawsuit with the federal government would be different in many key ways, I wanted to talk with someone who's been in the legal fray with TikTok. On the show today, Knudsen tells me what he expects from TikTok's coming legal fight. Attorney General, appreciate you joining us on Politico Tech.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
We're here to talk about TikTok. You've been down this road before to taking action against TikTok over its alleged connections to the Chinese Communist Party. Congress, as we know, is likely to pass its own TikTok bill this week. What do you think of it?
I'm glad that Congress has finally taken Montana's lead. This is something that we did over a year ago. And frankly, we did it because Congress was really good at holding hearings and, you know, frankly, rattling the saber, but they weren't doing anything about what we thought was some pretty concerning behavior out of TikTok. So I'm glad to see Congress is acting. I think they're on the right track here. If they do this right, it's probably going to render our bill, hopefully, not needed anymore.
The way the federal legislation is written, essentially, it would first force TikTok to find new ownership without connections to the Chinese Communist Party. And only if it fails to do that would the app then be banned. The Montana law reversed that order of operations, right? It banned the app, but said that could be reversed if the app found new ownership. In your view, how much of a difference does that make in terms of kind of the legal challenges that the bill in Congress is likely to face?
I don't know that it makes a tremendous amount of difference. I mean, the arguments, I think, are largely going to be the same on the First Amendment grounds. A lot of the advertisements that we've seen coming out of TikTok, a lot of the lobbying efforts coming out of TikTok are saying the same things on the federal legislation that we've heard here in Montana. So when litigation happens, assuming this federal law passes, it'll get challenged. I think we'll see a lot of the similar arguments.
What do you make of all the lobbying that TikTok has done in Washington? I mean, is that kind of what you expected based on your experience there in Montana?
100%. Yeah. I mean, look, we're a very small state. We're a very small legislature in Montana. We're a citizen legislature.
Right.
That only meets for 90 days every other year. So having a company like TikTok come in, relatively small lobbying community in the Montana legislature, and I'm a former state legislator, so I know that world pretty well. So it was really interesting to watch TikTok come in with a very, very lucrative contract because, I mean, that was very well known what they were offering to pay for a Montana state lobbyist. Very lucrative. It was interesting to watch most of the lobbyists pass on it, frankly. TikTok threw a lot of money lobbying against our legislation here in Montana. I mean, they just as well lit that money on fire because interestingly, it really didn't have a lot of effect with the Montana legislature.
And is that just the fact that it does raise these concerns about connections to the Chinese government? I mean, to be a bit cynical here, companies throw money at government and into lobbying all the time, often to some effect. You know, TikTok, it seems a lot of their attempts here in Washington have backfired.
I think in Montana, a lot of it was timing. You know, we had that Chinese spy balloon go right over our state, and that was right in the middle of our legislative session. That made a lot of Montanans really upset. I mean, I don't know that really is understood in D.C., but the CCP did us a tremendous favor to be cynical again,
yeah,
by floating that balloon over our state right in the middle of our legislative session as we are drafting this bill. So they really prepped the ground for us. We had a lot of really upset citizens, which translated into a lot of really upset legislators, because we know that balloon was steered. We know it was flying over a lot of our sensitive nuclear missile facilities, power generation facilities. I mean, they were trying to get a look at our infrastructure, period. I was upset that the Biden administration didn't tell us about it. You know, we have the State Fusion Center. I'm in charge of that intelligence fusion center. And that's supposed to be what that's for sharing intelligence. After 9/11, every state got these fusion centers, and that was the whole point. So we could be sharing intel. We had to find out about that balloon the same way everybody else did, which was on Twitter.
I'm curious, you know, to talk about some of the legal challenges that the Montana law encountered and whether we might see something similar here with this bill being discussed and likely to pass in Washington. One of the criticisms of the federal legislation is that it won't hold up to some constitutional scrutiny, particularly the argument that it would violate the free speech of TikTok's American users. Montana sort of has not yet been successful in countering some of those arguments in its case. Does the federal legislation have a better shot, you think?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'd say is it's very early in our litigation.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, been not quite a year since that legislation was passed. It was challenged, but I mean, we're still in federal court. The federal judge did issue a preliminary injunction, which we've appealed. So, I mean, we're in the middle of briefing that appeal for the Ninth Circuit. But I mean, functionally, for the timeline of the case, we're still doing discovery, which is, you know, exchanging documents and taking depositions and fact gathering, frankly. So
I see.
It's early. So I think maybe it's a little premature to say that, you know, we haven't been successful yet. We don't know. But certainly, I think we're going to see a lot of the same challenges. Sure, they're going to claim First Amendment protection. Interestingly, what we found out in our litigation is that while there are individual plaintiffs, they're being bankrolled by TikTok.
Hmm.
I mean, that's who's paying the legal bills on that case. So to me, I mean, it's a little disingenuous to say you're violating my free speech rights, but you really, it's TikTok standing behind me. But I mean, it's going to come down to, you know, is it strict scrutiny? Is it intermediate scrutiny? Our federal judge here in Montana completely rejected TikTok's argument that this was prior restraint on the First Amendment. I fully expect that they'll probably argue that again in new litigation if the federal legislation passes. But they were not successful with that in front of a pretty friendly federal judge, friendly to their cause, I would say, here in Montana. That one was not successful.
I wonder, based on that experience, is there advice you would give to federal attorneys who are likely to find themselves going to court over this proposed law and maybe facing some of those same arguments?
I don't think so. You know, they know what they're doing, just like my solicitors know what they're doing.
Right. You've got the experience, though, now of having gone up against this company,
Yeah.
You said it's early.
I mean, like I said, it's very early. You know, we've really only had the one hearing. No, I mean, I think the biggest challenge is on the congressional level. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of money being spent. There's a lot of lobbying going on. That seems to be more effective in Washington, D.C. than it is here in little old Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see there's some bipartisanship here on this. It sounds like even the Biden administration recognizes that this is a problem and they're finally willing to do something about it. It's not very often that I am agreeing with the president, but you know, this is one I think if he signs it, I'm going to be pleasantly surprised. As far as legal strategy, no. I mean, I think those are the main arguments that they're going to be dealing with, and I think they probably know that. I mean, we were very aware of the challenges we were going to face going into this. I mean, we were under no illusion that our legislation was going to be unchallenged.
You know, a lot's been made of the fact that TikTok is so widely used. You know, it has over 100 million users in the U.S. A lot of them are very fervent users. Some of them make money from the platform. Does that complicate at all the legal battle you found when it comes to actually getting down to the nuts and bolts of these arguments?
Well, if anything, it actually bolsters our argument in that this is not an unreasonable restriction, because there are other avenues. There are other platforms. To say that we're unreasonably restricting free speech is a little disingenuous when there's multiple other platforms. I do think it would be one thing if TikTok was the only platform out there for people to express themselves or to engage in commerce or, you know, watch funny dance videos.
Right.
But it's not. there's several other competing platforms that frankly aren't as egregious in a lot of their privacy and data collection practices. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what our bill was about. I mean, we brought it under our state consumer protection laws because what started as a broad investigation into several social media companies and their data collection and privacy practices, the one that really stood out flagrantly was TikTok.
Right.
Those companies are all collecting data and they all want to collect your personal data because it's valuable. And I understand that. But TikTok was the only one that doesn't give you a choice. I mean, when you sign up, you agree you're going to let them scan all your apps. You're going to give them access to your pictures, to your videos. You're going to allow them to log your keystrokes. I mean, that's terrifying.
Well, that's, I was going to ask you, you know, a lot of folks argue that the federal government has not really laid out in clear terms why TikTok poses a national security threat. You know, certainly there's a lot of concerns that are talked about related to possible connections to China. But, you know, what specifically is sort of the impetus for this? It's sort of an outstanding question. And I was curious, in your investigation, you know, of the company, what sort of convinced you that there is a real risk here?
Well, that's kind of what I was alluding to before. I mean, really, it was their data collection and the fact that there's no option to opt out. I mean, literally all of the other social media companies give you the option. You can toggle off their data collection. They hope you don't, but you at least have that option. With TikTok, you don't. I mean, like I said, you're giving them access to your microphone, to your pictures, to your videos. When we really started digging in, we also found that, I mean, there is pretty significant whistleblower evidence that TikTok has weaponized against whistleblowers. You know, they've gone after members of the media. They've gone after internal whistleblowers who've tried to report wrongdoing. I mean, that's documented stuff. TikTok doesn't like to talk about that, and that certainly hasn't come out, at least not that I'm aware of, in any of the congressional debates. It should. That's scary stuff. Because basically what TikTok has done so far is say, we would never.
Right.
Absolutely, we would never.
They've denied this, yeah.
There's a halo over our head. Can't you see our wings? We would never do these things. But the fact is, there's pretty significant eyewitness and whistleblower evidence to the contrary. They have done this. They have weaponized. They have gone after people and targeted them. And when you're talking about a company that is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, ultimately, under Chinese law, that's pretty scary stuff.
Well, I know you've raised these kind of national security concerns there in Montana as part of your own lawsuit. And one of the comments from the judge in the case is that, you know, foreign affairs, international commerce are the purview of Washington, not the states. And so, you know, obviously that litigation is still ongoing. I'm curious, you know, in your view, the fact that Congress won't have those same hurdles, how much does that maybe move the needle in favor of a sale or a ban of TikTok as a result of this law?
Oh, I think this is absolutely going to have a lot more effect on pushing ByteDance and TikTok than little old Montana. I think it's going to have a tremendous difference. I mean, obviously, the federal Congress swings a lot bigger stick. Mm-hmm. It overcomes a lot of legal hurdles that, I mean, as you point out, I mean, we're very aware that those hurdles existed, but they are hurdles for sure. Some of those hurdles don't exist for a federal law. So, yeah, that's absolutely true and it's valid.
We were talking before about, you know, TikTok's kind of lobbying presence and how it sort of really came in to Montana with big money trying to make an impact. I'm wondering, though, you know, how formidable is TikTok as an opposing counsel, like when you actually get into a courtroom?
You know, that's probably a better question for my solicitors. I mean, I wasn't the guy in the courtroom arguing that case. I can tell you from a litigation standpoint and discovery, like disclosure, turning over documents.
Yeah.
They've been incredibly difficult.
Okay. How so?
They're arguing privilege and they're really not wanting to disclose a lot of the documentation that we're asking for. They're not wanting to allow us access to a lot of witnesses. I mean, that's true. Now, that's not uncommon, but they are being especially tenacious, which is going to drag this litigation out longer. I mean, when we have to go to the judge and ask the judge to order them to turn over documents that would normally be turned over in the course of litigation like this, that slows everything down. So from that standpoint, I won't say they're being obstructionist. I mean, I've litigated before. I understand how that works. But they are being quite tough and difficult on discovery issues.
It was reported over the weekend, I don't know if you saw that TikTok's U.S. General Counsel, Eric Anderson, is leaving the company. You know, he's been key, I guess I should say, to kind of the government engagement and the legal strategy there. I wonder how much of an impact you think that could have on TikTok's approach to your lawsuit and to the federal lawsuit that's to come.
I was not aware. I had not heard that he was leaving, but my guess is that, I mean, they've got an army of lawyers here. They've probably retained multiple law firms. My gut is it probably is not going to have a whole lot of effect.
It seems like they've amassed quite a legal team.
Oh, they absolutely have. And it's not uncommon for a large company like that. You know, they've got some pretty significant resources. You know, I'm little old Montana DOJ. They can afford a lot higher dollar and more lawyers than I can.
As we've been saying, you know, talking about your case, you know, your own TikTok ban was enjoined by the court back in November. You've appealed that decision there in the Ninth Circuit Court, as you said. If this federal bill is passed and signed by the president, how will that affect your own legal battle?
Well, I mean, if it's signed and if it goes into law, I think very likely our legislation goes away. We had specific language right in our bill that's contingent voidness that said if ByteDance and the CCP divest itself of TikTok and it becomes a wholly owned American company, we're out. Our law goes away.
Right.
So if they actually go through with it and do it, yeah, I think we probably call the ball.
Well, Attorney General Knudsen, thank you for joining us on Politico Tech.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
After today's interview, I took Knudsen's comments to a TikTok spokesperson. They told me that TikTok has cooperated with his office and provided documents as part of the ongoing lawsuit. And when asked about TikTok's data collection, the spokesperson insisted that the app is in line with industry practices. The company has also denied collecting data about faces, bodies, and voices that could be used to identify individual users. That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.